Good morning, good morning, good morning. You've tuned in to the morning show on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack, that's Jim.
And we're
the hosts of the Thursday morning show. We have a whole slew of guests today. We have two groups of guests. The first group is already in the studio. We have a group from Once Upon a Mattress, who's... I've decided I'm not going to announce them all right now. We're just going to say the group is here from Once Upon a Mattress, cast and crew. And also later on in the show, the fabulous Sandpoint Follies are back in town, and we've got a few folks coming in to talk about that. All entertainers, all Panada, all the time here on the KRFY Morning Show. But first, the weather. Let's talk about the weather. High of 40 degrees today with a chance of rain and snow, and then rain later on. 50% chance of like snow flurries and stuff in the early part of the day, and then later on looks like an 80% chance of rain, and and then less than half an inch possible overnight. 90% chance though of rain and snow, then snow showers tonight, so it does look like it's going to be coming down tomorrow. And looking ahead to the weekend, snow before 10 a.m and then turning to rain. High near 41 degrees. South wind 7 to 9 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 90% on Friday. Then on Friday night, rain before 10 p.m. and then snow after 10 p.m. Low around 30 degrees. Another southwest windy day. Rain and snow showers on Saturday with a high near 39. Same looking into Saturday night. And on Sunday, snow showers with a high near 37. New accumulation of 1 to 2 inches possible. So I guess winter is not really over. We kind of thought.
No.
I guess some people were hoping.
Go out kicking and screaming. Hey, guess who I am? And the winner is for Best Picture.
Yeah. I would guess you are
not either, Faye Dunaway.
You're Clyde. You're Warren Beatty.
I suppose everybody is still thinking about the Academy Awards last Sunday night. And if you only have one thing to do, like give the correct envelope to the presenter, how difficult can that be?
I
mean, how can you blow it?
Do you think I almost think it was staged. Because it wasn't Best Supporting Actress.
It
was Best Picture, the big one.
Conspiracy
theorist.
Well,
I don't seriously think that. But it's amusing and amazing that
amusing
it was Best
and
Picture,
amazing.
The first
Absolutely.
Major flub in Oscar history. We have the second round of guests piling into the studio. They're
okay,
just going to have to make
on
themselves
with our
comfortable.
First, yeah. Slew? Did you call him a slew?
I called him a slew of guests.
Are you guys a slew?
I hope that's not offensive to anyone.
Okay. Tell the listeners who they are, why they're here, and what we're going to talk about.
All right. Left to right across your radio dial, we have Sahara Shalupny, the queen. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Bob Stevens, Sir Harry, I hope I pronounced that correctly. Renee York, Princess number 12, is here. Michaela Shoning, Lady Lucille Shoning, Michaela Shoning, and Hope Ambridge, Lady Larkin, is here. Plus, Natalie Aller, the assistant director of Once Upon a Mattress, a 1959 off-Broadway and then Broadway show that is making... I'm guessing perhaps its debut at the Panada Theater. Maybe it's never been here before. So good morning to you all. Now, collectively, on three, let's say good morning. One, two, three.
Good morning.
Boy, that was in six-part harmony.
Yeah.
Did you catch that? It's really good to have you here. Let's talk with the director.
Yeah, Natalie, why don't you step up first and tell us a little bit about what this show is. Give us the background. How did it end up here at the Panada, and what is it?
Well, first, I should just tell you when the dates are, and I'll let some of the actors tell you what it's about, if that's okay.
Marvelous.
Yeah. Perfect. So the dates, opening night is March 10th, 7 p.m. is curtain, 11th is the next night, the 16th, 17th, and 18th are the closing nights. They're all at 7 p.m., and on the 18th, there's a matinee at 2.
There we go.
On the 16th, we've got a couple really fun things. Student night. There's $12 for students under 18. 18 and under with a high school ISB card or ID card. On the 18th, at the 2 p.m. matinee, the family show will be happening. There's a $10 ticket for 12 and under. You can dress up as your favorite court figure or a princess or anything you'd like. And we've got fun surprises and giveaways, even some raffles, and maybe even some photos with your favorite cast member. And this is all mostly sponsored by the Aspire Dental of Ponderé. And then our other supporters and advertisers are Ballard Orthodontics, Sandpoint, Arby's, and Cascade Creek Farm.
I have a question. Where are tickets available?
Tickets are available mostly on, I'm guessing, the Panada Playhouse, our website, and the Growing Dreams production. I believe maybe even Eve's Leaves. Well, and cast members from the production.
We can track that down. Cast members from
absolutely.
The production.
Absolutely. So that is 1 week from tomorrow, you guys go on stage. Oh, dear. You should have seen the look. Too bad we're not, like, visual. You should have seen the looks on people's faces like, what? Nobody told me that.
So the show is Once Upon a Mattress. Musical. Musical comedy? Musical drama?
Comedy.
Yeah. How long have you guys been practicing for this show? When did the whole process start, is, I guess, the question.
Well, we auditioned in December, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, so we auditioned in December, and then we started into production right after Christmas break ended. Mm-hmm. So since January.
A couple months then, yeah.
I know nothing about Once Upon a Mattress, let's say. Let's say there's people out there listening saying, I have no idea what this is about. Who would like to step to the microphone and give an overview of what the play is? I think we have the sir.
Sir Harry.
Sir Harry.
Yeah.
Well, the play starts out, it takes place in a medieval kingdom, and the queen, who's standing right here, is very controlling over her son, Prince Dauntless, and she's also very controlling over the entire kingdom itself. And she has made a decree saying that no one is able to get married until her son, the prince, gets married. But she also makes sure that her son only marries a true princess and makes up these ridiculous tests to be able to determine if they're a true princess, and no one ever succeeds. And then there's some trouble where my character and Lady Larkin, who's also here, end up having a baby on the way. And so we need to get this prince a princess fast. So I go out, find a princess, come back. She's tested, and you'll have to come and watch the show to figure out if she succeeds or not.
I see. So this is based on the old Hans Christian Andersen Princess and a Pea.
Yes.
But it's a... as of 1959, a modern take on the show. So Carol Burnett was on Broadway with this show. Was she the queen in that one, was she the princess? Go ahead. Do you know?
The 70s, I believe she was the queen. No, actually, I think maybe earlier than that she was the queen.
Who knows?
No, later. Okay, sorry. In the 70s, she played Winifred.
Winifred,
yes.
Who's the princess?
Yes.
Okay, and who is not represented among the cast today. We got a young cast here. What's the age range of the cast? Michaela.
Is correct. It's ages 8 to 18. So we have rehearsals outside of school so that everyone is able to come.
8 to 18. Okay.
I'd like to go around the group and each one of you talk about your character, what you like about your character, what are the challenges of the character, so we can get a better sense of who you are and the person you play. And we'll start off with the Queen.
Yeah, I play Queen Agravaine, she is a very interesting character because, like Bob explained, she's very protective of her son, but that's basically the only person she really cares about. Like, her husband is, like, dead to her, and the kingdom, she couldn't really care less what happens to them. All she cares about is making sure her son stays her baby boy, even though in the play he's, like, 30 years old. And One of the fun things about her is that I get to just, like, yell all the time because she's very loud and very out there. But one of the hard things are that's not, like, how I am at all because I'm not a very loud person. So having to, like, play that character and, like, be able to show how powerful I am, it's been a challenge to try and get that character out of me.
How about you, Bob?
Well, my character, Sir Harry, I am the chivalric knight of the Herald. And so I'm supposed to be this upright, morally straight person, and which is kind of one of the comedic parts where I end up having a baby on the way when I'm not supposed to. This character is very fun because it's a very powerful character in how he is and just his stance. But I'd probably say the hardest part about playing this character is that me, myself, I'm kind of a goofball. So playing the upright, powerful character is very different than myself. So that's the main challenge there.
You got the voice for it, though, I
would say. Thank you.
You're going to have to say that before you leave. Give us an announcement or something like that. I can hear it already. You seem to embody that character. How about Renee? Who's your character?
I am Princess Number 12, and I am one of the 12 princesses who failed her test, her very unfair test. And I get to run off stage crying.
Carrying a chicken.
Carrying a rubber chicken, yes. It's the best part about that role.
Are there 11 other princesses too?
Not in the actual show.
Okay. There have been in the backstory.
Indirectly stated.
Mm-hmm. And Michaela.
All right. Well, I am Lady Larkin and...
You're not.
Oh, I'm Lady Lucille. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I am Lady Lucille, and I am one of the three ladies in waiting who is waiting for Dauntless to get married so that I myself can get married. And I'm also I am sort of a maid to the queen and princess. And I've got a little bit of sass in me, but she's definitely trying to be sophisticated and upright. So, yeah, it's a fun character.
And Hope, what's your character?
Hi, I'm Lady Larkin, and my character in the play, she's really sweet and fun, and kind of everyone like has a soft spot in their heart for her because she just loves everyone, and she's madly in love with Sir Harry, so... That's kind of fun to watch because they're kind of this type of story of like a star-crossed lovers. And she has some singing parts in the play, and it's so fun to like be able to hear those music parts. So.
And Natalie, you're not on stage at all. You're just the assistant director. And I don't exactly know what an assistant director does for a stage production. You clearly know everybody pretty well.
I get to tell everyone what to do, really. Yeah.
you were in a performance, though, before.
Yes, the last time I was here, I was the Mad Hatter for Alice in Wonderland.
There it is. Yes. Okay. But now you've graduated or something. You're behind the scenes
yes,
now.
Yes, I'm just a loser here working my life away. Not in college yet, so...
But you're the assistant director of Once Upon a Mattress. I found out that this was written by Mary Rogers, who is the daughter of Richard Rogers of Rogers and Hammerstein. Yeah. How about that?
Really?
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, so it's got quite a pedigree. And Jim?
Should we take a break? Because I do know that the sir and lady... Okay, are going to sing for us, and they've got to tune their voices and whatever. And speaking of voices, I think it was 52 years ago today on this date that the Beatles released Twist and Shout here on this side of the Atlantic. And what's important about this song is that it is the only million seller by the Beatles that was not written by them.
Yeah.
There are two versions of it, originally recorded by the Top Notes, and then the Isley Brothers was the most recent. But we're going to play Twist and Shout by the Beatles. It was released here in the U.S. on this date in 1964. So put on your dancing shoes. And meanwhile, we're going to have a couple people here work out their voices and get it ready. Here are the Beatles, Twist and Shout on 88.5 KRFY.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of the Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
Twist and Shout with John Lennon on lead vocals. That was released here in the United States 52 years ago today on this date in 1964. And the little backstory behind it is that this was the first time the Beatles had been in a studio to record an album. And, you know, they did the album like in 23 minutes or something like this. But John Lennon had a cold and he was sucking cough drops and things like this. And this was the last song they recorded, and I guess he just ripped his vocal cords to shreds doing this song, this cover version of the Isley Brothers. And then it's released here in the States. There's a whole interesting story of the different record labels, because Capitol, which was EMI's, the British counterpart, here in the United States Capitol, wasn't interested in the Beatles. So they went on VJ label, they went on Swan label. This one was on Tolly, T-O-L-L-I-E label. And boy, if you have a copy of Twist and Shout by the Beatles on Tolly label, hello next trip to the Hawaiian Islands or something like that. But anyway, it's just a song with great energy. It never became number one because when next April, coming up, the Beatles will have the top five songs on the charts. Mm-hmm. And this will only peak out at number two. So that's a little bit of backstory here on 88.5 KRFY with Jim and Jack on the Morning Show. And we are here with performers, assistant director for Once Upon the Mattress. While we're waiting for the two folks who are going to sing to us, run one more time, Natalie, let's run through when and where for Once Upon a Mattress.
Okay. So opening night is the 10th of March at 7 p.m. And then there's the next day, the 11th, also at 7 p.m. The 16th, 17th, and 18th are our last 3 days. This is all at 7 p.m. And then on the 18th, there's a matinee at 2 o'clock. And on the 16th, going back, this is a student night at $12 for students 18 and under with a high school or college ASB or ID card or anything like that. On the 18th at the matinee, the 2 p.m. matinee, it's a family show. This is really fun. It's $10 for 12 and under. You can dress up as your favorite court figure or princess or prince or anything. You can take pictures with one of your favorite cast members. And we've got a lot of fun games and surprises, giveaways, and even some raffles and stuff. So,
can I ask you a question? Is this a production for the entire family? Is this a family one that, when you talk about dress up as a princess, I think of lots of little people who come knocking on my door at Halloween. I'm sure you can blow the dust off that, but it's a family affair. So in other words...
Yes, definitely family. Bring everybody there, especially the youngins. They would enjoy it so much.
Cool.
How long have you guys been working together before? Or we already talked about how long you've been rehearsing, but have you guys worked together before in other productions or in school, outside of school? Go ahead, Sarah.
Some of us, yeah. I know Bob and I are seniors, so we've been working together for about 4 years, and I've worked with Natalie before for like 3 years, I'd say, and then I've worked with Renee for about 2 years, And then this is the first time I've been working with Michaela and Hope. So it's been a really fun experience.
We have Sir Harry here, and we have Lady Larkin here to sing just a snippet of a song, which I'm sure it'll sound a little different in the Panada Theater. Well, I'm going to do the best I can here on our mixing board to bring your vocals out, but not to worry. It'll sound great right here in the Tiki Room, which is what we call this. You guys ready? You wanna announce it? Tell us what you're going to sing about, or just go right into it?
Today we'll be singing In a Little While, which mm-hmm. is when Lady Larkin tells Sir Harry that she's going to have a baby. So this is kind of a romantic song where he's taking on the responsibility of that, and it's really beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Here, I'll turn us off, turn you guys up, and take it away. This is Bob Stevens and Hope Ambridge as Sir Harry and Lady Larkin.
It won't be long, it won't be long, it won't be, 'cause it can't be long before our dreams come true. Because you know I don't belong, and furthermore I shan't belong to anyone but you. In a little while, just a little while, you and I will be 1, 2, 3, 4. In a little while I will see your smile on the face of my son to be forever hand in glove is the way I have it planned. But I'll only stay in love if the glove contains your hand.
In a velvet gown I'll be coming down the aisle, and it's bound to seem as though the wedding's only been a little in a little while.
Have you an idea how soon, my love?
November.
November?
My time is at a premium, for soon the world will see me, a maternal bride-to-be. I know I mustn't worry, Harry, still I'd wish you'd hurry, Harry, Harry, marry me.
In a little while, just a little while, you and I will be 1, 2, 3, 4. In a little while I will see your smile on the face of my son to be forever hand in glove is the way I have it planned. But I'll only stay in love if the glove contains your hand. I can see it all down to every small detail, so I'd wish you'd look around until you found a castle in the neighborhood for sale.
Excellent, excellent. This has been so great. We have to shift gears now. We have folks coming in from the Angels over Sandpoint to talk about the Follies. All I can say is just standing here looking at all of you, and you're all students at Sandpoint High School, correct? If you're having fun, continue doing this. Just pursue it and have all the fun. Are you two who are heading off, are you going next year off to college to pursue doing this at school?
Yes. Yes, I'm actually planning on minoring in acting. So.
Wonderful. Boy, best of luck. Natalie, one more time, Once Upon the Mattress at the Panada Theater, tickets at the usual outlets, or you can go to the panada.org website and get more information. But this is a wonderful way to celebrate not only live plays, but also local artists and performers, as well as just have a great time as a family. So Natalie, one more time, the dates and times.
Alrighty, March 10th, 11th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. 7 p.m. is curtain time for all of those shows. And then there's a matinee at 2 o'clock on the 18th. And definitely hit that one. This one's the family show. Lots of fun, lots of photos, and fun cast members.
Very cool. Tickets are available at the door and at Eve's Leaves, and online as well at panada.org. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you so much. Now you got to go back to school.
I know. This is way more fun than school.
Well, good. Stay around and play some music here. And we're always looking for volunteers down here, by the way. And we have very few, a history of very few volunteers from Sandpoint High School. Because if you're going off to college, most colleges and universities have a radio station. And it's a great way to share your love of music. So keep us in mind. Speaking of which.
Get in here, guys. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
We're going to say goodbye, but 50 years ago today, this song was the number one song in 1966. I'll give a little backstory to it. You'll be blown away by the number one song 50 years ago today.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
You are listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. We just said good morning and adieu to the cast of Once Upon a Mattress.
Goodbye and hello. You say hello, I say goodbye. That was Sergeant Barry Sadler, The Ballad of the Green Beret. That was the number one song for 1966. And I find that amazing because when you think of the incredible productivity of the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, and the British invasion, and then this song, it was the only pro-war song to hit the top 10. Meanwhile, you have Barry McGuire, Eve of Destruction, and things like that. But the number one song of 1966, and it was the number one song on this date 50 years ago.
Wild, man. Wild.
Absolutely.
Here in the studio, we have four new people. Different, whole different crew from who was in here before we took that musical break.
A little bit.
Dan Simons, Eric Bond, Andrew Sorg,
and good morning.
Kate McAllister. Hello. Are all here.
Howdy, howdy.
Good morning. Yeah, you guys will have to. We didn't have time to talk about it. Just talk, you know, into the microphone, not away from the microphone. That's all.
Let's ask Kate. Let's start with Kate.
Yeah.
Right.
Why are you here, and what is this all about?
I don't know. Wait.
There's notes right before you.
Oh, I have notes. Right. This is about, we're talking about the Follies. It is our 15th year, and it's this weekend. And sorry if you want to go because it's sold out. Tickets go on sale Groundhog Day, and we sold out in 8 hours for Saturday. Friday, we had a few, probably about 20 tickets about a week ago, and now they're all gone as
well. Isn't that a great feeling?
It's a wonderful feeling. And for those who don't know, I have a little brief thing. You know, 27 pages that I'm going to read to let people know who the angels are and what they do. How's that?
Great.
Let's see, where are we? Oh, Sandpoint is a special place for reasons beyond the mountains and the lake. It has to do with living in an extraordinary, out-of-the-way community in a small town that is both relaxed and sophisticated, down-home and trendy. It is home to an eclectic group of pioneer stock and those who've just crossed the bridge, conservatives and liberals, doctors and restaurant owners, hippies and corporate executives. The desirability of Sandpoint has everything to do with the people. What are the unique qualities that both keep people here and draw others to defy all odds and a bizarre economy to settle in Sandpoint? Look around now. Each person you see helps create Sandpoint's exceptional culture. Recognizing the value of being here, of knowing one's neighbor, and lending a hand when the need arises is directly related to the formation of the Angels over Sandpoint. When longtime resident Kathy Pellin died tragically, a drunk driver actually killed her on the Long Bridge in 1997. Hundreds of people turned out for her memorial. In sharing stories and recollections, a particular line was repeated over and over, "Kathy helped me when." The frequent comment was paired with stories of what a friend she had been, regardless of age or circumstances. Kathy laughed a lot, worked hard, never let a person down. She inspired a group of friends to carry on in her spirit, and the angels were born. The friends realized there were others who had invested their energies in making Sandpoint a wonderful place to live. The group wanted to honor their contributions as well. The Angels over Sandpoint decided their mission was to continue the work of those who had inspired them. The small founding group had grown to over 70 regular members, and the Angels is now a 501c3 organization. Beginning with original monies from Kathy Pellin Memorial Fund, the Angels added to the pot. They began to stage gala fun and fundraising dances. Their first big contribution was $3,000 to help finish the Sagal bike path. Mm. Since then, the group has balanced fundraising with giving and helping carrying on in Kathy's spirit. In 20 years, we've raised nearly $1.5 million, and nearly all of which has gone back into helping Bonner County residents. We provide funds to help with rent and utilities, to ensure seniors and veterans have access to dental and health care, to provide emergency shelter for individuals or families in crisis, and to see that every child has a backpack and supplies to start the year right, as well as shoes or boots if they need them. We also give scholarships. We have the Lippy Scholarship, Family Scholarship. We have Art Scholarship. We have a New Directions grant for people who are starting their life in a new direction. We also now give community grants to help other nonprofit organizations. In the first 2 years, we granted over $18,000 to other organizations to buy computers, expand services, and other equipment. We also keep our eyes and ears open for friends and neighbors in need and help where we can. All of the programs are directly funded by this generous community who attend all our wonderful events, and the Angels Over Sandpoint could not do it without all of you.
Woo! Ooh,
true.
Well that. Done. Well done.
Thank you.
You memorized all that.
Well, gosh, I'm an actress.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job. Now, one more time, when and where, just to remind the people who purchased the tickets.
Tomorrow night, Friday and Saturday, doors open at 7. Although people start to line up about 4 p.m., bring your umbrellas. It's going to rain.
It's open seating.
Open seating. Well, we do have a section that are VIP tickets. Those tickets were $50 each, and so they get to come in at 6:30, and they get to sit wherever they would like. But we will always keep the tickets at $25 because we don't want to be cost. Mm-hmm. Cost to be prohibitive to some people in our area because, you know, a lot of us don't make a lot of money, and we want to make sure you can enjoy the fun. So we will continue to keep it at $25. And and this year's theme is Fabulous 15, The Follies First Formal. And I got calls saying, so should we really dress formally? And I said, well, yeah, like a trashy bridesmaid. So if people come into town and they see all these crazy dressed up people, then they'll know why.
So the three guys with you here are going to be wearing trashy bridesmaids dresses?
You never know with them.
I wouldn't say trashy bridesmaid. It's more of a trashy human anatomy piece, but it's definitely there's a blazer involved. So
I think birthday suit. I think that's closer to some of us will be wearing.
I'm not going to be dressed trashy. I just have a trashy mouth. So.
Ooh, a potty mouth. Now, how many acts are there, and where are you in terms of the putting this on tomorrow night? Is it still in its taking shape form, or is it pretty well solidly set?
Well, the most wonderful thing about this show is that, and I'm the MC this year, and then at the end of the broadcast here, we'll give you a little peek into next year. Everybody rehearses on their own. We have 21 acts this year, and everybody rehearses on their own.
Okay.
The director will go around and visit each act individually, but we only all come together. Tuesday night was tech rehearsal. Tonight is dress rehearsal, and this is really the first time that we are all together and the show runs.
And you get to see what everyone else is doing.
Right. Yeah, and so it really is remarkable because we had a gentleman visit once from Chicago, and mm-hmm. he's a producer at Second City. And he wrote us a letter and said he and his wife were going to, they thought they'd go to this little local yokel show and see, you know, how corny it was. And he told us, he said, it was better produced than some of the shows I've done. He said it was remarkable, the talent. And then especially when he found out that we don't rehearse together. We just all come together and it all goes together and, you know, but it's fun. And it's really a good respite for the winter because about now we're just
ready to break.
Getting something new.
And saying dirty words. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell me, how does one, let's say, do you have more than, how does one apply to get his or her act or their act into the Angels Over? And do you have people making judgments saying no, yes?
Well, let's just say involves certain talents that we can't really say on the air, but no, there's auditions that get run.
Okay.
Every we put out the call on social media, posters around town saying we need acts for the Follies, and we hold auditions. And anybody, if you have anything, any like small hidden talent, if you could have been on Stupid Pet Tricks on David Letterman, totally just bring your act down. the directors, they'll go ahead and watch it. And, you know, if it's good enough, which, you know, a lot of times it's like, it's amazing how talented the people around here, where you like look at people who are like, they've never done anything in life. We have some actors, it's their first time on stage. First time on stage, they're up there. And I saw a few of them during Tech 2 nights ago. Blew me out of the water. I was laughing so hard during them.
Oh, yeah. And along with that, like every year. So Andrew and I, who was just talking, we've actually been a part of it for several years now. And every time I've been able to be a part of it, there is a completely new set of people, acts, talent that you had no idea existed in this town. And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. It's kind of amazing.
So could you go around and what is your exact role in with the Angels? The performance.
So, I guess. well, I know we can't spoil anything.
Okay, like, well, can't you could just say I'm one of the acts.
I am an act.
By yourself?
That is something. Yeah. No, I'm a class act. No. I'm in the show.
Okay.
I'm in a few acts. Yeah, we're just. It's very early. What time is it?
It's the day before you go on stage.
Yeah, which is a good sign, I think. All right. Yeah, but I'm in a couple of the acts. I sing, I dance, I spaz out. I make a general fool of myself. If that's worth your price of admission right away.
And you come back from Boston.
So I moved to Boston 2 years ago. But every year I come back
for this.
The Follies.
Oh, how wonderful.
Because that's how good it is. It's
dedication
it's the
right there.
That's right.
Excellent.
I don't know about dedication coming back once a year, but Eric Bond moved back here from San Francisco.
that's from dedication. San Francisco. From
San Francisco. So he Why could continue would one to do participate.
That? Follies? The Queen. She just lures me in with those magical eyes and that. Killer laugh.
Right.
And that whiskey breath.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Now, are you in an act this time around?
I am. Actually, Andrew and I are going to be in an act together. And it's another musical number, kind of piggybacking on one of our first things we ever did, years ago?
No, yeah. it was quite a while because you redid it at the 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. Anyway, it was a long time ago. Now we're kind of back together in a show. And it's gonna be fun.
Right.
And
I'm in one act, and like I said, it's kind of filthy language, so I can't say much about it.
Not on this radio station, you can't, live and on the air.
It's a parody of a children's book. So.
But do you hit all of the 7 forbidden words? And I'm not going to say what the 7 forbidden words are.
I emphasize on 1.
Okay, good. I mean, you know, and next year when you do your act, you can have 2.
And, a word in there somewhere, I'm sure.
Don't say it.
Yeah. That's amazing. And I'm the MC. I'm the Queen of Ireland, which started, she was born in the Follies. When I've been doing it for 13 years, and when I first auditioned, Velma, Queen of Fun, said, well, you just can't sing a song. You got to be something. And so I said, well, you're the Queen of Fun. I'm very Irish, so I'll be the Queen of Ireland. And then that's how the Queen of Ireland was born.
How it came about. Yeah. Now, by the way, we should give a shout out to Velma because she's down in LJ, Georgia right now enjoying...
Whatever.
80 degree weather.
We don't care.
And
we're not bitter.
Blooming. No, we're not hostile at all about her. I'll let her know that we've mentioned her on the air.
Right.
But so it's a sold out event.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
And when does the next year, you said next year, when do you start kicking in gear? I know you haven't done this yet, but for somebody who goes, gosh, I didn't know that anybody could apply.
Then you must have been living in a hole because we really try to get it out that, you know, anybody can be in the Angels. But we're always surprised. So Friday night is usually when we get the virgin crowd. So Friday night is mostly people who've never been before. And you can tell because they power drink after work and then they don't realize we have alcohol at the event. And then the next day you say, what was your favorite number? And they have no idea.
So they come back on Saturday night.
Well, and Saturday, actually, we have so many people from out of town coming in Saturday. So it really has become an economic driver as well. La Quinta is sold out. They come in and, you know, they visit the restaurants. So the people who come Saturday, they all year, they plan their costumes. They, you know, when the tickets go on sale at 8 o'clock in the morning on Groundhog Day, they are there buying their tickets. And so they're the real rabid fans. And Saturday night is really just an excellent audience. Both nights are excellent, but Saturday is really the night that all the, you know, people that have not been or really have been before really love it. And the one unique thing, too, that I forgot to mention about the Angels over Sandpoint is we have almost no overhead. We pay for a cell phone, a couple of things. But so every dollar you give me, pretty much 98 cents goes right back out into the community, into Bonner County, not just Sandpoint. And so we raise about $40,000 over this weekend, and just about all of it goes right back out into the programs that we mentioned earlier. So it really is a remarkable organization. And this year we'll be 20 years old in July, so we're very excited.
You don't look a day over 19.
Oh, my God, don't I love you. And that's another thing, thinking about age, is one of the acts this year. I'm almost 60, and so I love doing it. Yes, I don't think I'll ever give it up. But one of the acts this year, he's 86. And he's so funny. Tim Henney.
He's great.
He's going to sing dirty college songs from back in the 50s. And he has a little tambourine around his neck, and that's his beatbox. He's so funny.
Well, so the Follies hardly needs any promotion at all, but the Angels do. I mean, what you guys do around town. And then what else? Anything else coming up? Any events after the Follies that we should be aware of? Put on our calendars? Anything
well,
like that?
The Angels High Tea. So for those with delicate sensibilities who would not be caught dead at the Follies, I think this year's our ninth year. 9 years ago, I said, let's have a high tea. So the high tea is kind of my baby. There's only 120 people invited. It's the first Saturday in May. We have little old ladies who have china sets beyond belief. Every year we have a different theme. And so they decorate their tables. I mean, they buy the whole table and they decorate. It is stunning. I mean, this year's theme is your favorite season
or holiday.
It is at the Pondere Event Center. Well, look at our Facebook, the Follies or the Angels Over Sandpoint Facebook page. You'll be able to get more information. We usually do a press release. Tickets are $35 to that, and that brings in about $10,000 just for three cups of tea. Marcia Pilgrim, who writes for The Reader, she is our chef, and it is just like going to Victoria or somewhere and having a high tea. It is stunning. We get tea from London, and ladies wear their big hats. We have a hat contest. Mary Fox usually comes in with a dozen or so hats, and so it's really lovely. So it's kind of the opposite of the spectrum, right? Then we have the Italian Open Golf Tournament Scramble, which helps fund our Lippi Family Scholarship, and that is in September. And we would love to get more people involved with that. If you're golfers out there, I usually drive the drink cart. Because, you know, that's my talent. And then we have a thing in October called Sandpoint Style. That we just, you know, it's about girls getting together and there's a fashion show. In the Hive, we used to do the New Year's Eve dance in town. The fabulous formal that we had, funky formal. And then the Hive, Jeff Grady generously said, you know, why don't you let me host it every year? So
perfect.
The New Year's Eve dance at the Hive every year, proceeds come to the Angels Over Sandpoint. And because part of our credo is to not just to raise money, but to bring us all together for fun and to have a good time as a community. So
I want to give a shout out to the Angels for their backpack program. Oh. I mean, that has to be one of the best ever. Do you want to describe it a little bit, Kate?
Well, there's a, you know, I grew up in generational poverty, and I have to tell you that when people, you know, say disparaging things about it's just a backpack, I have to tell them that it's really about dignity. It's about being like all the other kids and having a backpack. And the Angels were the ones who were instrumental in getting all of the schools to have the same supply list. And so we work with Staples. We have some amazing partners. Robin Hansen leads this effort. And we raise about $25,000 or $30,000 to get backpacks. Walmart is an amazing partner, believe it or not. They give us a deal on the backpacks like nothing else. And so we have about 900 kids. And then it sort of went out. It got even bigger because we noticed kids didn't have shoes, they didn't have coats, they didn't have. And so we also started doing that because we, you know, you got to have boots and a coat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the backpack thing, you know, we've had kids, like they write us thank you letters. And the one I'll never forget is this little boy drew a picture of a pencil. And he said, with this pencil, I will change the world.
Cool. Wow. Excellent.
You know,
excellent.
Then, and we also give them like toothpaste and toothbrush. And last year someone said, I've never had my own toothbrush before. Now, whatever you think about that, that's your own opinion. But it, yeah, I mean, I don't want to cry now because I look like the bitter beer face man when I cry. But it's always
driving
very...
the golf cart. That could be scary.
Right, right, yeah.
One more time, do the angels have a website?
Oh, yes, angelsoversandpoint.org.
Okay, so if one is interested in volunteering with the organization, finding out more about the organization, go there and...
We meet every Tuesday, second Tuesday of the month at DeLuna's. Annual dues are a whopping $20.
Okay.
But if you're going to participate, if you want to be an angel, you have to volunteer.
Roll up your sleeves and dig
because,
in.
Yeah, dirty. If we're asked to clean toilets, we will clean toilets if people will give us money.
Now, are you looking for everyone? What's the gender breakdown of the angels?
We're getting more and more men. Well, our husbands, you know, they're really the guys who schlep stuff. And so they're sort of unofficial angels. But we also, the men decided who are in the angels that they needed a name. Mm-hmm. So they're called the Clarences, you know, like in the It's a Wonderful Life. And they even have leather vests that say the Clarences. Right.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So it's open to everybody.
Excellent. Excellent. We are here. On 88.5 KRFY with Making Talk about the Follies, which sold out event, correct?
Oh, yeah, sold out.
Yeah, if you have friends and they have tickets, you know, buddy up to your friends.
Or right. Craigslist. Go on to Craigslist. There might be some tickets on Craigslist.
I'm sure there are, yeah.
Yeah, but we don't get the money, which would be...
No scalping.
No scalping, because if the queen finds out, she'll find you and... in your sleep.
Yeah, the Queen of Ireland, at least.
Right. Right.
Okay.
You are listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show with Jack and Jim every Thursday from 8 to 9 and every Tuesday and Wednesday with other miscellaneous
other
hosts.
Other people.
This is the fabulous 15th, and other than being the formal, is there anything special about this anniversary, or are we waiting till the 20th before we...
Well, you know, the 10th anniversary, we did two weekends. We did one weekend of old stuff and then one weekend of new stuff. And we were going to do, we talked about it this year, but it's a lot of work. So we've blended some old stuff and new stuff. I think there's about four repeats. And we look through all our DVDs and audience reaction. That's how we, in fact, Dan is one of the
repeats.
One of the repeats that we brought back.
Re-Dan.
But the 20th year, we're thinking that we'll probably do two weekends. So, yeah. And next year is the Sweet 16. I will just let the audience know now that these three gentlemen will be playing a bigger part in the show. The Queen
committed.
Has been the Queen's been the MC, right? The Queen's been the MC for the past 3 years because it's a difficult thing to do, believe it or not, to be MC. You have to really control the crowd. It's different from being in a play. And then I adore these three gentlemen, and together on stage, they are absolutely a riot. So, as a committee and the director and I, we talked about it. And so these lovely gentlemen will be our MCs for Sweet 16.
Oh, yes. We all have the three-headed dog of Follies next year. So
it's a general. It takes three men to do the job of
one queen,
one queen of Ireland right there.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming down here to the station and sharing your enthusiasm and your energy for such a wonderful organization. And can we hope for four broken legs for tomorrow night?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
For you guys, we'll do eight.
Oh, Dan, that was awfully sweet of you.
Right.
Anything you want to say in conclusion, Queen of Ireland?
I would just like to thank everybody who attends and all the support that the angels get, because we really do work hard for your money. We spend no money on overhead, and we really love and care about our community and all these, you know, these dedicated people who come back from Boston and San Francisco and to really participate in it should show what kind of community we have. And despite what some people have said, it's not pornographic. Yeah. It's a little naughty, but it's not pornographic. It's a great, great, funny show.
And every life should have a little naughty in it, shouldn't
right.
it?
Right, exactly. It
Thank
should.
You so very much. The Angels. And do we have a song queued up?
We sure do.
And what could it be?
We have Sarah McLachlan's Angel queued up.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Have a great weekend, especially the next two nights.
We will. Thank you.
By the way, it is free first Saturday this weekend. Should we do the events calendar real quick? We're almost out of time.
Well, I'll usher them out the door. Yeah. You ad lib, and
then we'll throw to Sarah McLaughlin. All right, it is free first Saturday this weekend, this Saturday at the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. It's also, there's a murder mystery dinner going on up at Talus Rock Retreat. That's also on the 4th. Live music at the Niner, the 219. Game night with Rachel at the 219 on the 5th. And fit and fall proof class. That's Cedar Hill at Cedar Hills Church on the 6th. Puppy Power Hour at the Pondere Pet Lodge on the 6th. That's at noon. You will have to go to Sandpoint Online for more information about all of these events. Don't forget next week to check out Once Upon a Mattress, and this weekend is the Fabulous Follies. Good luck finding tickets if you don't have them right now. At this point, we're going to play ourselves a little Sarah McLaughlin. Thank you for tuning in to the morning show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack for Jim, saying good morning. Stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix and Bird Note throughout the day.